Scott Petrick of the Chronicle Telegram. What universe are we living in when that you become the headline story on a Monday of a bye week that includes Condoleezza Rice in the headlines?
I know. It's pretty weird, huh? I woke up Sunday expecting to do a bunch of other Brown stuff, and that wound up taking a good chunk of the day. It's interesting how it all played out. Yeah, and I think, obviously, by the end of the day, we know Condoleezza Rice is not going to be the next coach of the Browns. She's not going to interview. But I do think that general manager John Dorsey is serious when he says he's just looking for the best person, and that could include a woman. I'm not sure how Rice's name got brought up, you know, if it was just said kind of like, yeah, we'd love to interview her, and all of a sudden it became this ESPN story that the Browns and Condoleezza had to shoot down. But it's surely interesting, and I guess it gets us talking about whether or not we'll have a woman someday be in coaching the NFL. And I thought Condoleezza Rice's Facebook post on that was very interesting.
More importantly, how did your buddy Jim Ingram miss her on the list? He had the Queen of England, Serena Williams. He even had Jennifer Lopez. How did he miss it?
I don't know. Maybe he was going tongue-in-cheek and he thought that Condoleezza Rice was a viable candidate. I don't know. I haven't talked to Jim about that.
That is crazy. Well, you know, it's good, in a sense, a bye week that doesn't involve a coach being fired or a player getting arrested or some other injury taking place. Let's hopefully everything reports good today. It's kind of a change for the Browns, I guess.
Yeah, it's you know, it seems like everything's pretty stable. Obviously, it's only been 3 weeks since Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley were fired, but I like the direction since they were fired. You got this big coaching search. It will be a primary focus of the last 6 weeks. There's also six games to play. It feels like, and you never know. You never know when that other shoe's going to drop, but it feels like the organization is on an upward swing. John Dorsey's the right guy to lead it, from a football personnel department and a coaching search department. And it just feels like it's going in the right direction. And as I wrote in some of my at the bye week stuff, but now you need to win some games. You know, and they won the Atlanta game, which was big. It stopped a four-game losing streak. It said, okay, we're not going to finish the year on a, whatever, 11-game, you know, skid. But now they got six games left. The schedule's, you know, hard, but it's not impossible. Go win two or three games. If they went 3-3 after the bye, I think, obviously, they'd finish 6-9-1, and that would be a lot of reason for optimism heading into 2019 in this offseason.
Scott, yesterday we saw the debut, really, of Lamar Jackson against the Bengals, playing quarterback for the Ravens. He ran a lot, took a lot of hits. He's not that big of a guy, just over 200 pounds. What do you see his future as?
Hey, that's interesting. I think you got to get away from that. Now, that doesn't mean he can't be successful running the ball, whatever it is, 8-10 times a game. We see Deshaun Watson in Houston had some success running the ball. You know, you still see Cam Newton, but Cam Newton might weigh 40 pounds more than Lamar Jackson. So I keep flashing back to RG3, and he had that great rookie year in Washington, and he ran the ball a bunch, and then he got hurt, and you got to change your game, and he's never been the same player. And I just don't think you can live in this league as a running quarterback. It helps to have that aspect, right? You have to, if you threaten the defense with the ability to run, that's great, but you can't do it 20 times a game. So they might be able to do it for the last 6 weeks, right, if he stays the quarterback, but or stays a starter. But I just don't think you can do that long term, which means by the time he comes back next year, and let's assume they have him as a starter and Joe Flacco is somewhere else, I think you have to make him more of a passer, of a passing quarterback, because the defensive guys are too big, too strong, too fast in this league to take 25 hits running the ball, as well as the 5 or 10 you're going to take throwing the ball.
Talking today with Scott Petrick of the Chronicle Telegram. You can also follow him at Scott Petrick on Twitter or BrownZone.com. You're kind of looking at the bye week. You know what happened, what's ahead. Who do you hope? What players do you think are going to have a second-half surge, or you hope that there's something we can get out of them or improve?
Yeah, I'm looking at some rookies. Antonio Callaway, the fourth-round receiver, he's shown flashes. He big touchdown late in New Orleans. You know, he had another long touchdown. I don't know if he was against the Ravens or not, but he had another long catch. But then he disappears for, you know, quarters at a time. You can't have that if you're a starting receiver. and the Browns feel like he's talented enough to be a starting receiver. So I want to see him show me more consistency. Desmond Harrison, you know, he lost his left tackle job the last two games before the bye. My guess is they stay with Greg Robinson, but I wouldn't mind seeing Desmond Harrison back out there for two or three games at the end. To see, you have to find out if you need to draft a left tackle. This guy has great athleticism, wonderful feet for a tackle, but now you have to see, is he strong enough? Do we think he can handle this job moving forward, or do you have to spend your first pick in the draft on a left tackle? And then Jannard Avery's another rookie who got it off to a strong start, has faded. A strong finish would make me feel better about him moving forward as opposed to him just, you know, his season kind of fell off a cliff after 4 or 5 weeks.
How about Austin Corbett?
Yeah, I just don't think you're going to see Austin Corbett. In order to see him, you would need an injury to Joel Bitonio, Kevin Zeitler, or J.C. Tretter. And hopefully that doesn't happen. Now, he's interesting. Everybody, you know, he was a number 33 pick in the draft, and he's not playing much at all. You know, a couple of snaps, an extra lineman, maybe on special teams, but hasn't made a start yet. And you expect production out of that pick in the draft. The Browns knew he might not play right away. They thought he was not a project, but they were moving him from left tackle, figured he'd play guard or center in the NFL, and they were right about that. He was not able to play left tackle. So the issue with him is, if you say, okay, well, we need to get him into the lineup next year, the guys in front of him, Bitonio, Zeitler, and Tretter, are all under contract for next year. They're all having good seasons. So I don't know if you trade one of those guys or cut one of those guys just to get Corbett in the lineup, and all of a sudden he could go 2 years without playing, and then it looks like a wasted pick. So I think there is reason for concern there, but you know, you can't kill a guy just because he didn't play as a rookie, no matter how high in the draft he was. You got to give it more time, but obviously the coaches haven't seen enough to say, yeah, we need to get this guy in there, and that's somewhat concerning.
We seem to be getting rookies of the week quite a bit throughout the NFL. What does that say? Is it just, you know, good job for them, or is there something else more beyond that?
Yeah, you shouldn't open this can of worms, because I feel pretty strongly that the rookie of the week is a bogus award. So I don't give it much attention. I obviously, it means that the Browns have done something right, that their rookies are in discussion, whether it's Denzel Ward, Baker Mayfield, or Nick Chubb. But the one that they give out on Friday, a lot of that's fan voting. So it just means the Browns care, Browns fans care. They get involved in this. The Browns promote it a little bit. There's no way that the Browns have had the best rookie performance in like 7 out of the 10 weeks. That just isn't true. The rookies have played well, but I would not get carried away with that part. But I would say Baker, Denzel Ward, and Nick Chubb have all shown to be good picks so far.
So what do we expect now against the Bengals? You know, there's the old standing rivalry with the Bengals and the Browns. Now there's always personnel and Hugh. And what do we expect this coming week? And
well, yeah, we're going to see the Bengals twice over the next, I think it's 4 weeks. It's it's Sunday in Cincinnati, and then the 23rd of December back in Cleveland. And I think since the last time we talked, Hugh's taken a job in Cincinnati, and that to me is fascinating how that's going to play out. You know, you see players change teams in the course of the year, and you wonder how much intel they can give to their new team. Well, it's the head coach who knew every play, every call, every audible. He probably has the playbooks with him. I don't know if they make the head coach leave the playbook behind because they're thinking he's not going to go work for your rival 2 weeks later. So I think Cincinnati has a definite advantage having Hugh on their staff and on their sideline. And I'm interested to talk to the players and coaches because we didn't get to talk to him last week after he went down there and took the job in Cincinnati. So I want to see how much they think it's going to impact the game, what they have to do to change plays and change signals so that he's not the step ahead. So I think that just adds another layer of intrigue, not to mention Cincinnati's fighting for a playoff spot. It's the in-state rivalry anyway. The Browns are trying to finish strong. I'm really interested to see how it plays out Sunday, and then what those pregame interactions are between Jimmy Haslam and Hugh Jackson, John Dorsey and Hugh Jackson, Baker and Hugh, all the players. I'm really looking forward to going down to watch that game.
Now, we had a bye week, but then we have a sort of a week with Thanksgiving in it. How does that play out as far as their routine or getting back into the swing of things?
Yeah, I mean, the Browns, they're back practicing today. It's kind of a normal week for them. I think Thursday, some coaches move practice up earlier in the day so that the guys can get home to their family. I do not know the Browns' official schedule for that yet, but they'll be out there practicing Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You know, my wife asked me that too. Don't they get a day off for Thanksgiving? I'm like, no, it's football season. They go to work every day.
Well, I remember the days they used to send the rookies on some turkey hunt that would go on.
Yeah.
I mean, that was back before people figured out everything. You can kind of prank them. But it was just kind of a, you know, a bonding experience at that. But that was quite a number of years ago. Now the rookies buy the turkeys for like the whole communities and people like that. So
right.
It changes quite a bit. Well, we'll talk again next Monday. Hopefully after another Brown. You know, this would be two in a row. We haven't done this for a number of years or a road win. So there's a lot on the line that, and you know, those monkeys that we can get off our back if we get a win on Sunday.
That's exactly right. Good game,
Scott. We'll talk again. Thank you.